blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 74, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 74.
Thank you. We wish to read from God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, Psalm 146. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we do not know how to praise thee. And we knew how to praise thee when thou didst create us, when thou didst make us, when thou didst bring us into this world. And we have lost all that knowledge, and we have lost all that desire. O Lord, thy servant did say that while he had any being, he would praise thee. O Lord, he had that desire. Where did it come from? It came not from him. Thou didst look upon all the children of men, to see if there were any that did see God, if there were any that did understand, and thou didst find none. O Lord, that is a desire that thou dost plant in the heart of thy people. O may it be, would it not be, to thy eternal glory, and when thou wouldst put it in the heart of each and every one of us this day, both young and old, when we are come up unto thy house of prayer, we come up in our form, we come up in our custom, but we have no heart to it unless thou givest it in our heart, not only one time, not only for the first time, but also by renewal, because it is the experience of those who look back upon those former years, that that they have left their first love, and they cannot give it to themselves, O Lord, not for the first time, and not by renewal. O Lord, it all comes from thee. Therefore, we begin by calling upon thy name, by beseeching thee, for thy power and for the application of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wouldest come among us as a people, both young and old, that thou wouldest ordain a praise out of the mouth of babes, out of the little sucklings, oh, that they may be given so to magnify and to glorify thy name. Lord, and then we do not know how, but thou givest it in the heart of the prisoners. Thou givest it in the heart of the hungry to do so, because thou dost open the prison for the prisoners when they have no ability, and thou dost give food unto the hungry. Thou dost feed them, O Lord, then they praise thy name. Then they magnify thy name for all thy delivering mercies, for the power, for the good pleasure of thee, that thou wouldest do it even for such a one as we are. Lord, thou givest praise in the mouth of the widows, in the mouth of the orphans. Thou givest it in the mouth of strangers. Oh, thou dost preserve the strangers. Lord, thou knowest where they are, also in the midst of us in this afternoon. Oh, they say, I am now one of that people. I am on the outside of that people. I am a stranger to that life of grace. But they come longing, they come desiring today. Oh, Lord, they come with a hunger, they come with a thirst. And thou dost preserve them in all their discouragements, so that they do not go away, but they wait there at the doors of Zion, at the gates of the of Jerusalem. There they wait upon thee, knocking upon that door of life. Thou sayest, he that knocketh, oh, to him that shall be opened. Give them to wait, Lord. Give them a preservation from above. Give them a little encouragement, may it be, till that time that it pleaseth thee to open that door and to bring them in and to give light unto the blind, that they might see that way, that truth and the life, how they may enter into that kingdom of heaven. O Lord, thou knowest the prisoners. They do sit in the darkness. They do not know how to deliver themselves, or that key that is on the other side of that door. Lord, it is so impossible, and a light is so darkened in that prison, and there is so much discouragement so often. O Lord, come from thy own side. Show that thou art stronger than all the enemy, even of that prince of darkness who has brought us into that prison of death. O Lord, we cannot deliver ourselves therefrom. How many do not even mourn that they are in that prison, that do not even know what their great misery is, that do not know what their death is, that do revel in all the desires and all the pleasures of time and of sense. Lord, then we need to be shown who and what we are. We need to be have stripped away from us all our expectation and our false and vain hopes in this world, and that are going to that are deceiving our souls, and that are going to disappoint us on that great day of days. Lord, could it please thee to strip it all away? Oh, that we might find ourselves as a lost creature in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. Oh, that there might come a crying to the Lord of Sabaoth, he who is in heaven. Oh, that there might come a desire and a need, a longing, a hungering, and a thirsting after the true and the living God, that we may forsake the world and every former friend. Oh, to find that only portion, that treasure, and that waxeth not old. Lord, could it please thee so to labor in the midst of us when thy word is to go forth in this afternoon hour? Lord, we have no wisdom and we have no strength, or we have no ability in ourselves. But thou hast promised unto us, I have put my words in thy mouth, And thou hast done it, Lord, even from the first day that we have begun. Oh, thou hast never left us to this moment, Lord. And we are so deserving. And that thou wouldest deal with us even as thy servant. Oh, to leave us to ourselves because of our iniquity and all of our sin. But Lord, remember us in thy mercy, could it please thee. Oh, to give a little token for our own poor soul, as we are traveling also on our own journey to meet thee. Lord, could it be for our own soul, but also for the sake of our congregation, that it may become evident, Lord, and that thou visitest us, and that there may be a something that goes forth from us. May it be for the making of jealousy in the heart of those who do stand in the midst of this world. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to labor with power in the midst of us as a congregation. Look upon all the needs. Oh, we have read it out of thy holy word. Oh, that there is not one that is needy, that thou looketh not upon in the midst of this world. Lord, remember them then, wherever that they may be, where there are troubles and where there are sorrows, and because of our own sin. Oh, that thou may grant a cry to heaven, and that they may experience that thou livest, and that thou seest, and that thou regardest even the lowliest of the creatures here below. Remember fathers and mothers, remember children, remember teachers, remember those that have no children, remember husbands and wives. O Lord, give love in great measure to one another, as thou dost command husbands love your wives, and wives love your husbands and be obedient unto them. O Lord, could it please thee to be thyself the solution to all the difficulties and all the troubles that are experienced in the midst of this world. Look upon all those that need help for the mind. Lord, that is also part of our body. Oh, thou knowest their needs also. And those that have difficulties of the body, we lay before thee again her that is to receive surgery on the day of tomorrow. Lord, be on the right and on the left hand. Watch over her under doctor's care. And that thou may give that all things may go well, that thou would spare through the surgery, and that thou may give thy blessing upon this surgery, and that there may be a looking up unto thee, that she might say also that vain is the help of man, or happy is he, and that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Oh, may it be also for the help of her soul and her husband. Lord, look upon all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of the whole world. Increase their number also among us. Care for our denomination, our theological school, all the schools in the midst of our denomination and those that instruct our children, the parents also, that do labor at home, upon whom the greatest responsibility is lying, or that thou may give them to feel it, and also to feel that underneath are the everlasting arms, and that thou may give help in all the ways that they must lead their children through this world wherein Satan has so much power. Lord, that thou may care for all those that rule and reign over the nations over in which we do dwell. Lord, wilt thou care for them also, and give men that fear thy name, and wilt thou thyself give them to rule in the fear of thy name. Care for us then also in this afternoon hour, and when we are gathered around this thy holy word of truth, and that which is given by explanation of our forefathers, O Lord, that it might be that thy word may be convincing even to the soul of each and every one of us, and that we may be given to know the truth of it, and that we may be given to experience the truth of it, and that our soul may in the end so magnify and so glorify the creator of this world, not only, but also the redeemer of that sinful race who has departed from thee and our covenant had Adam, and who do depart from thee at moment after moment in this world. Oh, come then, Lord, say stop. Oh, say so far and no further, and feed thy people for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 72, all the stanzas. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1-4 of Psalter 72. beloved congregation, our instructors have begun their instruction for us in the knowledge of our misery. That is where the Spirit of the Lord begins when He will instruct His church here below. That is in the knowledge of His sin. That is against the law as the cause of His separation, that He does feel and that He does mourn as He is apart from God. That is, the love of God brings a man into the workhouse. Have you ever been brought into the workhouse? You say, maybe, children, that sounds like it would be very burdensome, but that is not a burdensome work at all. No, the labor of that people is a labor of love. David says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He said, how love I that law of God, but that is also a disappointing service. Are they then disappointed with the Lord? Oh no. No, not at all. But they are disappointed with themselves. And why? It is because of the instruction that the Lord is giving unto them in this workhouse. We read, canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. There you have the instruction that they have received. You say, have they received that out of the catechism? We all receive that out of the catechism. No. They receive that instruction in that workhouse. That is for them a very difficult way for their flesh, because that is for them a way of decreasing, whence then proceeds this depravity that is so natural, is it not? That a man is now looking for the cause. Where does that proceed from? Where does that come from? So he is seeking acquaintance with what? Well, he seeks acquaintance with the source. That is, he looks back even to paradise, that he seeks acquaintance with his original sin. And so the Lord is giving knowledge to him of what that original sin is. No, not that he can explain that by way of doctrine. But you hear it. You hear it when he is speaking, and you can hear it that he has learned it, because he has a living complaint. Thus he expresses that experimentally. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, he, and then you hear out of the mouth of those people who are smiting upon their own breast. Oh, then they are fretting that fact, that reality, that they have a sinful existence as they are going through this world. Do such people have faith? What do you think, young people? Do such people have faith? Yes, they do. What is faith? What does faith do? Faith believes. You believe. Do you have faith? What kind of faith is that? There are different kinds of faith. Those faiths have a different nature. We can read about true faith our fathers speak about. Therein there is also false faith. And now this faith, oh, that is true faith. That is saving faith. It is of the nature of saving faith that is different than the nature of historical faith, of temporary faith, of miraculous faith. It is different in its nature. Still, those people do not yet behold Christ as the object of faith. No, they believe, and they believe very, very strongly. What do they believe? They believe God, and they believe the Word of God, what He says. And that faith applies to itself what it perceives to belong to itself. That is written in that Word of God. And what does it perceive to belong to itself? What do you perceive to belong to yourself? Because of disobedience. Then what belongs to you, children? You say, then the threats belong to me, right? And then what God promises to punish, yeah, you say that belongs to me because I am guilty. Thus they believe. They believe that God will indeed punish sin. And they agree that God is not unjust when he would punish him for his sin. But you say, how then can a man know all of these things? Well, that is by the special work of the Holy Spirit. You say, yes, but what are the means by which the Lord is doing that? Well, that is by His Word. That is by the preaching of His Word. Yes, but now such a man, what is now written in that Word of God, is now that preaching not the preaching of the gospel? Does he only then hear from that minister? Maybe that minister is so one-sided in his preaching that that minister, he is not preaching the gospel, that he is only preaching the law. Congregation, the law of God was given to Israel under the sprinkling of blood. Moses had to slay a lamb, and he had to sprinkle that blood upon the people. Say, did not the people see that? Did not the people understand that in the giving of the law? Oh, they saw it. Yes, they saw that very clearly. But they fled. You say, why did they flee? Because even though that gospel was preached unto them in that Old Testament, for that people at that time, the law was standing in the foreground. That was the most conspicuous part for that people, and therefore they did fear, they did tremble, and they did quake. It is so also. In the beginning of that new life, the Lord gives that picture. When the children of Israel are coming out of the land of Egypt, in the true regeneration of a soul, what is now the most conspicuous part under the preaching of the law and the gospel? Oh, then they may hear that gospel, yes, with their ears, but, then there is no place for it yet in their heart. Their will is not yet able to receive it. Place and room needs to be made for that gospel. Do you believe that? Oh, there are many that do not believe that. But our fathers believed it. And our fathers have so vividly displayed that for us in our beloved Heidelberg Catechism. In this afternoon, we wish to consider together Lord's Day 5. Lord's Day 5, which speaks about the satisfaction of justice. The satisfaction of justice, first, the necessity of this satisfaction in question and answer 12, and then secondly, the impossibility of creature satisfaction in questions 13, 14, and 15. And thus, the satisfaction of justice, first, the necessity. Question 12. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? God will have his justice satisfied. And therefore, we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Secondly, the impossibility of creature satisfaction. Question 13, can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question and answer 15, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? For one who is very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. Thus the impossibility of creature satisfaction, the satisfaction of justice, first the necessity of that satisfaction, and second the impossibility of creature satisfaction, the necessity of the satisfaction of justice. God will have his justice satisfied. That is, congregation, a rock. That is a fundamental truth. That is an unchangeable dogma. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Lord thy God is a jealous God. But that is a rock which false faith, we will distinguish thus from true faith, which false faith is finding a way, finding a path to go around. It is deceiving itself with the thought that the heavenly judge will somehow look through his fingers at sin. That is, boys and girls, that he will not see it all. That he will not look upon it all, but he will hide that sin from himself, and that he will not bring us into judgment for it. That is what Bunyan has portrayed to us also by describing to us what he calls the city of morality, where he says, worldly wisdom. Do you remember worldly wisdom? Mr. Worldly Wise Man sends his subjects to that city of morality. There in that city is Mr. Legality. And he says, he is a judicious man. And there is his son, Mr. Civility. He says he can take a burden off just as well as his father. And he is sending to the house of Mr. Legality, and that is going, by the way, he says, of a very high hill. Worldly wise man says to Christian, do you see that hill? You remember the answer, young people? You have to read it closely. He says, very well. Very well. Oh, do you understand him? Oh, that hill that is seen by the people. What is that hill? That hill is Mount Sinai. That hill is the law of God. And that newborn soul, he sees that hill, Bunyan says, very well. That is what our instructors are also speaking about here. Precisely what our fathers are speaking about when they say God will have his justice satisfied. And what happens? Well, we read that Christian is not able to get around that hill. So many others, they can walk past that hill. But when Christian tries to do that, to go to that first house that is just by that hill, he is not able to get further than that hill, and he is filled with terror from that hill because that is hanging over him, and he is afraid that any moment that is going to fall on his head, that it is going to crush him, there is fire coming from that hill, thus the curses of that law of God. Thus he cannot just pass by that law. When that commandment is speaking to him, then he sees that there is a justice and that he has to be brought into account. That is now what our fathers are speaking about. That is now what that true faith is experiencing concerning that justice of God. Thus that justice is not to be meddled with. The justice of God is not something that is able to be changed. No, the wages of sin, we read in God's word, is death. So the reality of that in the eyes of such a person is just as a mountain, as a very firm mountain, and that is standing in his way. Justice does not know anything about mercy. What does justice know? I mean, justice itself. Justice only knows what is right and what is wrong. It only knows righteousness and wickedness. It only knows guilt and innocence. It only knows acquittal and punishment. That is all. Thus, justice is in a certain sense very, very simple. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Did you ever see something of the simplicity of justice? And does even your carnal mind bring you to that conclusion with the evidences that are living in your heart that you must die? Justice. Justice is for us, or justice is against us. And if our conscience is awakened, then we know. Then we know very, very clearly, as Bunyan's pilgrim, that justice was against him. That is a knowledge of true faith, and that is of great concern to a person who has been awakened. Were you ever awakened? Were you ever quickened? Paul says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, thus lying dead and having no desire, no spiritual desire for any of these things." But then quicken. How long does it take? It takes only a moment. One moment. Then it becomes different with you in your soul. And what is now the concern of a soul that is quickened? What do we read here? Is there no way to escape that punishment and be again received into favor? There we have congregation, actually two sides, two things, right? But they are actually children, just like a coin that has two sides. And these are actually the two sides that belong unto that same coin. Is there no way to escape their punishment and be again received into favor? Every man, you and I, we want to escape that punishment. But what does that mean? What is punishment? Because nature and grace, a quickened soul, perceives those two things, perceives punishment to be two very different things. Naturally, pain and suffering of the mind and body, that is not sought by any man. But what man seeks, the favor of God. Thus the favor of God, that is now what that quickened soul cannot miss anymore. And if he has to miss that favor of God, then he perceives that to be his punishment. Perceive that to be your punishment? Or is your punishment only that we have afflictions in this world? That we have insufficient of all the things that we desire to enjoy in the midst of Satan's kingdom? Is that our punishment? Or do we perceive that to miss God is the punishment for my sin, that I am separated from him? This punishment is perceived as something we read that is well deserved. That is what is taught by that Spirit of the Lord. He feels that because of his guilt, because he goes on day by day with a heart that is so hard and that is so far away from the Lord. Then he says it is so right and it is so just if the Lord would never look upon me, and if the Lord would never have mercy, that he would never stop me against my own wicked heart. Does he then desire that God would forsake his justice? No. No, he loves that justice. He says that justice is good. That justice is right, and God is good, and God is righteous, and God is holy. But what then is really his question? If that justice is good, and he loves that justice, but that justice is against him, what is then his need? Well, that is, how then can that justice be satisfied? Because if that justice could only be satisfied, oh, then therein lies the possibility of reconciliation between God and my own soul, satisfied the satisfaction of justice. So what does it mean to be satisfied? Satisfaction is the fulfillment of a need, that is, in general, but specifically here, we are speaking about justice. Thus, satisfaction of justice means a payment, a discharge of a debt or some kind of a claim that is against me. Satisfaction. You're sometimes hungry, right, children? You're hungry. I think we don't know too much what hunger is. Real hunger, right? But when you are hungry, well, then that hunger is crying out for satisfaction. That is a need. And satisfaction is the fulfillment of that need. So it is eating that satisfies your hunger. And until you may eat, the hunger does not go away. You know that, right? Do you know when it goes away? And you know when it is not gone, right? You experience that for yourself. Thus you know something about what satisfaction is. And now our fathers, they are speaking about justice. And justice is like hunger. Justice is crying. It is crying for satisfaction. And it does not rest. It is a cry for vengeance. It does not rest until it is satisfied, until it is fulfilled. Feel that? You know what David says? He says, Lord, remember not the sins long ago. Remember them? The sins of long ago? Some of us are pretty old. You remember them from when you were very young? 5, 10, 15 years old? Why is that? All satisfaction needs to be dealt with. All those sins, they need to be dealt with properly, each and every one of them. Because if they are not dealt with properly, they're going to come back. And they will come back in our lifetime, in our conscience. And they're going to come back on that great day of days. When that justice is not satisfied, how must they be dealt with? Well, congregation, they must be dealt with in a court. Because every sin is a legal matter. You understand that, right? Every sin in thought, word, and deed is a legal matter. It is not all a legal matter here in this world, no. But it is a legal matter before the Lord. And when we have to appear before that judge, every single one of our iniquities must be dealt with in the court. By that judge. And as long as it is not taken care of in this way, our conscience will never have rest. Those sins of long ago, they are going to continue to come back to us. Why? Because our case, our court case, it is not settled. That is still open. Christians saw yonder high hill. We read he saw that hill very well. that was looming before his eyes. That is what Bunyan was speaking about. That is what our fathers are speaking about here in this Lord's Day. They're speaking about a soul that is wrestling with a conscience, an unsatisfied justice of their own case before the Most High God. There is no rest to such a soul. He says, I have to die and I have to appear before God, and I cannot die and I do not dare to appear before God. And he is yearning. He's yearning for what? He is yearning not only to be delivered from the punishment, but there is another side for him to that coin. And that coin is just one. They come down to that same thing. All that is, that he may be brought back into that favor of God. Satisfaction, that is what they need. But what is that now take? With what? With what will justice, yea, with what will God, that Most High Judge, with what will he be satisfied? That is now the desire of their soul to know. Let us sing 423, 2 and 3. Consuming flames deploy before him to destroy, his foemen round about him who vainly seek to flout him. And what follows, 2 and 3 of Psalter 423. satisfaction of justice. First, the necessity of this satisfaction. Secondly, the impossibility of creature satisfaction. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Our fathers say this was where congregation Amen begins. He begins with himself. And that is true. Have patience with me, O Lord, and I will pay thee all of my debt. I will pay it all. That is now the desire of the heart, that young life that is full, we would say, of that energy, that spiritual energy, and that desires to make amends for everything that it has done. Oh, what a love of the heart is burning within their soul that is all planted from the Lord. It all comes from the Lord, and that is all going out unto the Lord. That is very sincere, that is wrought in them by a true faith, having the nature of saving faith. What do they want to do? They want to satisfy. They want to satisfy God. They want to take away his wrath. They want to take away the separation. They want that he may be favorable unto them again. There are two things that are necessary for the satisfaction of justice. And what are they? In the first place, that is that we must fulfill the law. We must keep it. That is the requirement of the law. The law says, do this and thou shalt live. And now justice requires that when that law is fulfilled, a person is, he must receive the reward. Justice is calling for the reward because the Lord has promised that reward. And thus it is justice that is crying out that when that law is fulfilled and when it is done according to that law of the Lord, that reward is being given. Thus, that reward is due, that is just, and God is just. Thus, here is an awakened soul. And what does he say? He says, I will behave myself in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will not set any wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh, do you know what the Lord does, young people? What a desire that the Lord gives when he gives you children a new heart, a new heart. Oh, then you want to set no wicked thing before your eyes. Oh, we have a little thing, right? Little thing. And those things, there's so many wicked things that can come through there, right? Fathers and mothers, you will be careful with your children, right? But children, father and mother, they cannot see me because I am here. What does a new heart do unto a child, a young person? He says, I am before the Lord. He believes that. That is faith. And that belief that gives him a desire. Says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh, the Lord give to you a new heart that will keep you all your life. So when you are a father and a mother, and you do not have to look back and say, oh Lord, the sins of my youth, the sins of my childhood, remember them not. Oh, we don't have to give an answer for the sins that we have not committed. I, Ah, you say, is that not a good thing now? That a man, he wants to keep that law. Oh, indeed, that is a good thing. That is all from the Lord. That is the love of the Lord that is burning in his heart. But, there is something more to say. Why? Do you know what he wants to do? He wants to satisfy. So that's good, right? Yeah, that is good. But you know what it also is? It is also ignorant. It is also ignorant. You know what he does not realize yet? He's been taught it in catechism. And by mother and father. He's heard it in church maybe many years. But he does not know it by experience yet. He does not know it in his heart yet. And those are two different things. Then there is their ignorance. And he still thinks that he is able to satisfy. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Then he needs to be taught. By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Here's the instruction of that Spirit of the Lord as a difficult way, right? That's why we say that is the way that is so disappointing. Disappointing with myself. Oh, that law. How love I that law. Oh, that law that is requiring perfection. It is so holy that it's requiring perfection in the deed, in the word, in the thought, in the motive, in the deepest recesses of my heart, the whole inclination, the disposition of my entire being. The Bible says called to be saints. You ever think about that? Called to be saints. What is a saint? That means to be holy. That means to be separated. And the Lord is calling that people to come out from among them and to be separate. And thus that people have a desire to live in such a way. But now to find out, Isaiah says, woe is me. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. What are they? The lips. Out of the lips comes forth, from the heart. He says, they are unclean. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, oh, generation of vipers, he says. He says, how can ye speak anything that is good? Because it is out of the mouth, that is the abundance of the heart, that the mouth is speaking. And in that heart, that is all kinds of wickedness. So what is Isaiah saying? He says, I am a man of unclean. He says, I am a man of an unclean heart. There is nothing that can come forth from me. Not the most he was a prophet of the Lord, you say. All our righteousnesses, they are nothing but filthy rags. And that law, always demanding. And then there can be no fulfilling. Paul says, weak through the flesh. And so our fathers say here, we daily increase our debt. Thus, that is the first part. That is the fulfillment of the law, justice. That requires that. Needs to be satisfied. But now there's a second part. And what is that? That is the fulfillment of the curse. Because that law is yawning. That law is crying for justice. And that is not only that that law may be obeyed, but that the disobedience of that law may be punished. It is not only then that the reward may be given, for the obedience, but it is that the penalty may be paid for that disobedience. You say, we are punished. Right? The whole world is punished. And I too, because I have, you say, lots of afflictions. Look at my life. Does look at the punishment I get. Yeah. Then I have to ask you a question. Did that punishment ever satisfy your conscience for one sin? Because you know, if a judge in this world says your punishment is now paid, you are now acquitted, then a man goes free. He goes free. You think he will not know that? Yeah, he knows that. And now we speak about the conscience. And that conscience is before God. And what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, there is no more conscience of sins. No more conscience. That means that they are taken away. That means that there is no more burden. A conscience is set free once that justice is satisfied. That is then, congregation, the fruit of faith. The just shall live by faith. As long as that conscience is not set at liberty, then we do not have in ourselves the evidences that justice has been satisfied. And the greatest afflictions that a person may endure in this life has never once set a man's conscience at liberty. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. All the afflictions in this life are leading a man back again to the cause, to his own sin. Thus our fathers say that debt can only grow. It can never diminish. The older that we become, the greater that debt is. It's not that very discouraging. They say, if a man stumbles upon the quicksands, every move that he makes, that is sinking him deeper into the quicksands. You say, why is this question not actually part of the section of the Heidelberg Catechism about misery? Have we not begun today, in this Lord's Day, the part in our Heidelberg Catechism about deliverance? You say, this does not sound to me like it belongs in the part of deliverance. Thus, why is that? Our fathers, congregation, have now led us. They have led us to the place where deliverance is taking place. Always. Right here. That is the experience of the soul. That is the deliverance that is experienced at the very bottom of our deep pit. reverently speaking, is very difficult for the Holy Spirit to bring a man, you'd say his most difficult work, to this place. To bring a man to stop moving. Just to cry. One of the most difficult works. But if a man may come here, or be brought here, then he has brought congregation to the turning point. The turning point. Here is now the beginning of the salvation of a soul. Here is now the beginning of the soul's deliverance, and that is now vividly displayed in this Lord's Day. Between this question and the next question, what does it say? Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? See what happened? Notice what happened? Where are the eyes going? For first time, those eyes are now taken off from himself. Those eyes are starting to go outside of himself. Is that not a wonder? That is a most significant change. That is now a place where our soul, where it's necessary for our soul to come. Crucial point. When a man, a soul, has utterly and finally despaired of every hope, and every expectation that can come from his own side. And when he begins to look outside of himself, you understand that deliverance can never take place in the soul of a man until he comes here. There, at the bottom of that pit of human depravity. Is that soul delivered then? No. No. Actually, maybe we should say in a certain way, yes. In a certain way, yes. You know what he is delivered from then? Is delivered from them from something that was so hard to deliver himself from. And that is that hope, that self-deceit, that he has not fallen dead. To the very, very bottom of that pit. And now he is delivered. He is delivered from this in the experience of his own soul. But that does not mean that he now knows just where that deliverance is to be found. That still needs to be revealed unto him. And until that is revealed unto him, then we can hear that that man, he is still wallowing, as it were, in that mire. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? And then we can hear something where our fathers have come from, out of that Roman Catholic Church, and the looking unto men, unto the Pope, and unto saints with the supererogatory good works in the Virgin Mary, and unto angels, and so on and so on. All of this now needs to be taken away. The Lord Jesus speaks about false Christs and false prophets. For first of all, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. You say, well, God will not punish any other creature. Why do the animals suffer? Yeah, that is not what they mean. Because the whole creation, Paul says, groaneth and travaileth together in pain even until now. That is not from their sin. No, that is our sin. So the creatures, they do experience the consequences of our own sin. But all there is none of that. Though we take cattle on a thousand hills, what is that in comparison to a human soul? That human soul that is worth so much more than all the creatures in this world, thus that can never satisfy that justice of God and keep that conscience, to deliver their conscience so that their conscience would not speak anymore. No, you can slay all the animals in the whole world, but it will never satisfy that justice. A beast is a beast. He is a creature of God, yes, but he has no soul like unto our soul, and neither can any other creature sustain the burden of God's wrath in order that he may deliver him from it. Oh, he shall sustain it. They shall sustain it. If we end congregation in that place, where hope never comes, then indeed we are going to sustain the burden of God's wrath. We will wish to die and to be annihilated, and we will not be able. The Lord is going to uphold us then in our being in order that we may sustain the burden of God's wrath forever and forever. But we can never come out of it. Never come out of it. And thus, if we never come out of it, then we can not be delivered ourselves. Neither can any other creature deliver us. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for one who is a very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures? That is one who is also very God. So you hear our instructors, they're leading us. And it is the Lord leading. He is leading the soul here. Our instructors are portraying that. That is, we agree with the Westminster Standards too. But the Westminster Catechism, that is written more like a doctrinal book, right? Oh, that beloved catechism, treasure it. Because our fathers are showing, they're displaying for us how that the Lord is leading his people and how that he is bringing them into that knowledge of salvation step by step. Oh, then not everyone can say with clarity every single step that he has experienced in his life. No, then the Holy Spirit, he is working in a mysterious way, but he is directing. He is, in his own wisdom, bringing his people to perceive what their soul needs in order to appear before God. What does that Spirit do? The Spirit makes his church to cry unto the Lord. That is his work. That's not easy work. I say, for him it is easy. That is true. That is true. All powerful, cry to him for it. Oh, he makes them cry unto him. He can do it. You believe that? And he does do it. He is still doing that, young people, also today. You know, when the Lord led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. We say that's a picture of regeneration. Ah, where did he lead them? Where did he lead them? So he led them to Canaan. Wait a moment. How did he bring them there? Do you ever see the way? Ah, he brought them out through much tribulation, didn't he? And then he brought them to stand there. To stand there before the Red Sea. Before the Red Sea, no man could help them there. No man. Now Moses, no. God had to help them there. You know that in your life? God had to help them there. And they did not know how that God could help them there. Do you not know it either? Then they were admonished. Stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is for us so mysterious, but thou can show the way, and thou will make a man to sing thy praises. The prisoners, the oppressed, the hungry, the blind, O Lord, happy is the man who hath the God of Jacob for his help. O be thou the help of those that cannot help themselves. Give them to know thy power, that they may magnify and that they may glorify thee. Do instruct us, give us to meditate upon thy precious truths, and give the desires to burn in our hearts for our own satisfaction, and that punishment may be taken away even from us, and that we may be brought again into thy blessed favor. And wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all of our many, many sins, and helping us to keep thy day holy, and helping us in this week to do our labors under thy commandments and under the providences that thou leadest us in, whether it be in the workplace or in the home or at school or under the physician's knife. Lord, help. Forgive all that is amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. 240 1, 3, and 5. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 240. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.